It's just kind of like this slogan. I was at a group with a group of psychiatrists and psychologists a few weeks ago, and they had this kind of slogan: if the only tool you've got is a hammer, then all the world is nails. All the world looks like nails. Yeah. So I think that's there's some very good truth to that. And it's interesting. I mean, just on the psychological thing, I just read the other day that, you know, you have this thing, you have, for example, Jungian therapy we associate with Carl Jung, but Jung himself only used Jungian therapy for a certain number of his patients, and for other patients he would use Freudian therapy or Adlerian therapy or other kinds of approaches according to what he thought. And his particular therapeutic approach was to address certain kinds of issues which he saw that weren't addressed in the other systems. So I think that's quite interesting to think about that, and I think that a good teacher of Dhamma should take a similar approach, and you really need to recognise that there is no one way, there is no one technique. And part of the heritage of Buddhism, which is very obvious from suttas and is acknowledged in all of the traditions, is that the Buddha was a master of skillful means, and he taught in very conventional ways. He had lists and sets of Dhamma which he would teach to everybody, and he would teach in extremely unconventional ways as well, and would give particular teachings at a particular time which were only relevant in that time and that context. And of course, you know, you there's so many examples from teachers like Ajahn Chah and so on who would do the same kind of thing, and they would give teachings which, you know, would be madness in some contexts, you know, and yet they worked perfectly well at that time and place. So this is something which is really important. And, you know, we have this sort of commodification of meditation techniques that happened in the 20th century. And, you know, we don't make conscious the fact that the idea of a meditation technique was a 20th century invention. And it's essentially a marketing tool which is devised in order to mass produce meditation. And that's its purpose. It is, meditation techniques are McDonald's, KFC, and this is what you're selling. And when people go to those things, that's the quality of teachings that they get. And so, you know, this is not necessarily a criticism, it's just a description. If you go to McDonald's, you expect to get McDonald's food, you know. And that serves a purpose. You know, it does serve a purpose. There are, you know, for example, there are a very limited number of people who can actually give sensitive and intelligent meditation advice. There's very few teachers like that, and very many people who want to learn meditation. So you have to find some way of bridging that gap, and the way you bridge that gap is by playing a tape on a meditation retreat, or by just giving a retreat based on a series of notes and talks which were given many years ago. And so, you know, it's interesting to listen to what people actually do on these retreats, and a lot of people actually just ignore the talks and things that are given there and just use the space as a time to meditate. And not that many people actually do meditation techniques as they are taught. Yeah. If anybody, but they maybe influence how people meditate, but they certainly don't just do those meditation techniques. So there's a very good, nice statement about that in the Visuddhimagga, and it just says very simply, it says, you know, if you want to learn meditation, you know, if you go to a meditator, they will teach you how they practice, and if you go to a scholar, they'll tell you what's in the books. So that's it. If you understand that, then there's not really a problem. You know, you go to see a meditation teacher, they'll tell you how they practiced, and then you see for yourself, is that useful for me? If it is, that's good. If not, then you need to find another meditation teacher.